Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You're inside the world's biggest pregame show. 100 hours of Texans Chiefs coverage. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
You know, obviously, this is a very special night for the Houston Texans, a special day. You know, to be able to have a quarterback and a person of the caliber of Deshaun Watson under contract, you know, for multiple years is just great.
It is just great, and it is a great way to kick off the week of the world's biggest pregame show. 100 hours of Texans Chiefs coverage, the NFL season week one is here, and it gets kicked off on Thursday night, Texans and Chiefs, right here on Sports Radio 610 as we welcome you in to the world's biggest pregame show, getting you ready for the Texans and the Chiefs and the NFL week one as well. And it starts off with huge news on Saturday, news that I think we all were very hopeful was coming down the pipe before the season started. As we welcome you in on Payne and Pendergast on a Monday here, a Labor Day Monday. Hopefully you get the day off and you're up early and you're tuned in with us. If you are, we really, really appreciate that. If you are a football fan, get ready to sit back for the next 100 hours and get ready for, well, not the next 100 hours. We are already inside the 100 hours because it started with the war room yesterday. But the big news over the weekend, Deshaun Watson gets his contract extension. Seth, good morning. That was a big, big Saturday for Deshaun Watson and the Texans.
That was a huge Saturday, and it's one of those events in life, Sean, where I didn't realize it was going to mean as much to me until it actually happened. Sometimes you hover along and you think, well, it's not that big a deal, and then all of a sudden, I don't know, you find out that you got a promotion at work, and it means a whole lot more to you than you even thought it would. This is like that, and I think for in a lot of ways it kind of just hits the reset button. I feel like, okay, now you can really move forward. All the Clowney stuff is behind us because Clowney signs with the Titans yesterday. All of the DeAndre Hopkins stuff is behind us for the most part. I mean, we'll keep talking about it for years. Yeah. And all of that is left in the rearview mirror is you start fresh with Deshaun Watson, this cast of wide receivers and tight ends and running backs. And it just feels good. It feels good for it to happen right at the onset of the season. I will say, I think it's a testament to Deshaun himself that I never worried about this, and I never felt like it was all of that dramatic a situation. And I think maybe that's why I didn't anticipate really caring as much about it as I did, because Deshaun has said all the right things, right? Ever since DeAndre Hopkins was traded, and the immediate response from so many talking heads was, well, Deshaun's going to want to get the hell out of there, isn't he? No way he resigns there. Deshaun has talked about how much he loves Bill O'Brien and the McNairs, and there's never really been a hint of dissension. And I think that's just who Deshaun is. I think he views himself as the guy that needs to be the steady hand at the helm of the ship, and that's what he's done a great job doing over these last several months.
Yeah, it was a really cool Saturday. We're going to relive some of that as we roll on this morning here on Sports Radio 610 in the world's biggest pregame show. We're going to relive some of that a little later on this hour. Seth, my thoughts on the deal itself, and I think maybe the things people need to know, because let's face it, this was a holiday weekend. There's a lot of people that are going to be listening today, that are listening right now, who the extent of their knowledge of the Deshaun Watson extension is a push notification from Sports Radio 610 that haven't dove into the details of it. And I think the things that you need to know, first, the numbers: 4 years, nearly $160 million of new money added to his already 2 years he had on his deal. So he is locked up through 2025. Look, if he's what we think he's going to be during this contract, he'll probably get another extension long before 2025. He gets $111 million in guarantees, the only contract in the NFL that's bigger than Deshaun's. is Patrick Mahomes. So this is the second biggest contract in the history of the NFL. That's number one. Number two, and I think this is important, it is very, very cap friendly for the next 2 years. The cap hits for the next 2 years on this deal are only a little under $10 million and a little under $15 million. That's important because the Texans don't have a first and second round pick in this year's draft to build up some of that good, cheap labor on the team. They're still going to have to be a pretty veteran team, I think, going into next year. And also, there's a good chance the cap goes down in 2021. So this deal is very cap-friendly for the Texans as well. This should, Seth, allow them to continue to build the team in some ways the way that Bill O'Brien has and Jack Easterby have been building it over the last year or so.
Yeah, and that's the big conundrum, right, is how do you build a team around a quarterback who's been paid? We've seen multiple teams struggle to do this, whether it's the Seattle Seahawks or whomever else. The San Francisco 49ers did make it to the Super Bowl last year after they paid their quarterback, so it's not like it's an impossibility. I think that it's starting to come into focus that O'Brien, whether you agree or disagree with the way he's gone about it, O'Brien has a vision and he had a plan all along to get the Texans to this spot. The next 2 years, as far as him being a general manager, we can worry mostly about that starting next offseason because the challenges and the way he's handled them, good or bad, that's all for the most part, and that's all for the most part behind him. So I'm excited about. I feel officially like now the off season is over. We've got however many hours. Where are we at, Sean? 82 hours.
We are in Seth. In 15 minutes, we will be 85 hours from kickoff.
So we're 85 and one quarter hours away from the actual season beginning. And I'm ready to go. I'm totally football. I'm into YOLO, Bill. I don't care about the future or anything. It's all about 2020.
Yeah.
Also, as a testament to Deshaun and his agent, David Mulligetta, technically, I suppose people are saying Pat Mahomes has a bigger contract, which I suppose you could say is accurate because there's a whole bunch of money that the Chiefs can pay Pat Mahomes if they choose to.
Right.
But assuming Deshaun Watson makes it through 2025, at that point, he'll have actually made more new money on his contract than Pat Mahomes has on his contract, and he'll also be a free agent, whereas Mahomes will be under contract for 7 more years with no actual guaranteed money after that.
Right.
I know that Schefter and the agents like to say, oh, that's all guaranteed. It's not guaranteed money.
Yeah.
It's guaranteed if the Chiefs decide to trigger an option.
Yeah.
So this is a much better contract for Deshaun Watson than it was for Mahomes.
It is. Seth, he's going to get another big contract before he hits the age of 30. Mahomes is signed up with the Chiefs through the age of like 33 or something like that. So the bottom line is this. The Texans have locked up a legitimate franchise quarterback, which they've never had. God bless Matt Schaub. He was good for a few years. This is what a franchise quarterback likes. This is a quarterback that about 30 or 29 other teams in the NFL would easily trade their quarterback for right now, I think. Going forward in the moment, this is what it looks like. Seth, you said your emotions, you were surprised by how emotional you got about this deal. You know why that is? Because other than stuff that happens between the white lines on a Sunday, this is the hardest thing to do in the NFL, is find this guy, is find
right.
a franchise quarterback. There's like two that come along every year, if that. And the Texans have one of them. The Texans have one of the top five quarterbacks locked up now through 2025. This is a tremendous, tremendous day.
Well, and again, I think where so much of the narrative was, wow, Deshaun Watson's not going to want to be in Houston. I think just him so emphatically voicing his commitment to Houston is what really made that feel real. Yeah, I've been a fan, a player slash fan of this franchise for now 19 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
This will be the 19th season in the franchise history.
Yep.
It's really hard to get a guy who's not Brock Osweiler, who's not David Carr, not Matt Schaub.
Yep.
Like, he is so clearly, no matter how much you want to quabble about where he might stand in the power rankings of NFL quarterbacks, there's never been a guy who's been even within a legitimate sniff of where Deshaun is relative to other NFL quarterbacks. Schaub had some good years, but we know about that system, and we know about Gary Kubiak getting the most out of guys like Schaub. This is a whole different scenario.
Yeah, the line is simple. You're either a quarterback where everything needs to be right around you in order for the team to thrive, or you're a quarterback who can take flaws, cover them up, and drag a team with you because you're great. Deshaun is above the line. He is in that ladder category. All right, we are in the middle of the world's biggest pregame show in the midst of 100 hours of Texans Chiefs coverage. We'll have more on the Deshaun Watson press conference a little later on this hour. Some amazing people showing up along the way. We'll almost do a Deshaun, this is your life later on this hour because that's what Saturday was. It was a really, really cool day. We mentioned Bill O'Brien there. I should mention here Bill O'Brien's show, the first one of the year, where he's very candid about with John Harrison, Mark Vandermeer, presented by Amegy Bank. That's at 5 o'clock today. That's the only place you can hear Coach O'Brien is right here on Sports Radio 610. Up next, the Texans. They make their cuts. They got down to the 53. Some surprising names on the cut list. What does it all mean? And how are teams managing through the – how are they taking advantage of the pandemic to structure their roster? We saw a little of that over the weekend. That's next. We continue with the world's biggest pregame show inside 100 hours of Texans Chiefs coverage, Payne and Pendergast with you. And we are 85 hours until kickoff between the Texans and the Chiefs. That would make us 82 hours from Texans Countdown, which will be hosted by, voila, me and Seth Payne, who are with you right now here on a Labor Day Monday. We appreciate you tuning in. So, Seth, the Texans got their roster down to 53 over the weekend. It was a weird weekend around the league because there were clearly a lot of teams, including the Texans, were doing some strange cuts to try to take advantage of these injured reserve rules during coronavirus. The very, very loose injured reserve rules, which basically allow you, after the 53-man roster is cut down, you've essentially got unlimited revocable injured reserves. You know, you've got unlimited number of guys you can bring back from injured reserve during the year. They just have to be on the injured reserve list for 3 weeks. And you can bring them back. So there's supreme roster flexibility this year. So that led to a few interesting names being cut. John Weeks, longtime long snapper for the team, he was cut, but they re-signed him. And that was one of those things that the Texans did to, I think, kind of, they knew nobody was going to pick up John Weeks. He wasn't going to sign anywhere else, but that gave them an extra roster spot to hoard somebody who they obviously want to put on the injured reserve list. The big names that were cut, that two of them wound up actually going to Arizona, Jordan Thomas.
And to be clear, you said that they re-signed John Weeks.
I did say that, yes.
Yeah, okay,
I did say that, yes. Jordan Thomas was cut. He is signing with Arizona. Angelo Blackson was cut. He is signing with Arizona. I feel like Arizona's become a safe haven. It's almost like the FBI. This is where they go into the witness protection program. They go to the Arizona Cardinals now if you're a Houston Texan. And Greg Mantz was cut, but he's back. He's on the practice squad. He's going to try to make the 53 again. Which one of those names surprised you the most that you saw over the weekend that the Texans let go?
Even though I knew it was a possibility because it's hard to keep four tight ends on a roster, Jordan Thomas was a bit of a surprise just because he'd had such a good training camp. And remember we read that report from the Buffalo Bills reporter that said that the Bills staff was really using beat reporters and all these other things, since there were no preseason games or combined practices or anything else, that they were really relying on the media to scout other people. I wondered if maybe Jordan Thomas would get picked up off of waivers by somebody who just had heard and seen that Jordan Thomas was having a really good year, that he came in good shape. I think he'll probably get perhaps maybe a little bit more free agency attention than some other guys because he's, you know, because guys like Sean Pendergast, the few that were selected to be at training camp, have been heaping praises on him. Now, O'Brien did say they're going to try to get him back.
Well, he signed with Arizona.
Jordan Thomas. Right. So what I was saying is that I think that they were probably hoping to perhaps do something like they did with John Weeks or maybe keep Jordan Thomas on the practice squad or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. So he's gone. Angelo Blackson gone as well. They both signed with Arizona. And then Mantz, who has been a fixture on the offensive line as a swing interior guy, started 16 games in 2016. They brought him back. What's that going to feel like, Seth, when you've been on the team for 6 years and you get cut and you get brought back on the practice squad?
Right, which is, again, this year it's an exception that they're allowing veteran players on the practice squad. I knew a kid that was a varsity wrestler his sophomore and junior year, and then he gained some weight, and there was a stud in his weight class. So his senior year, he had to wrestle JV. I've always felt bad for him. I felt bad for him for going on almost 30 years now. I don't feel bad for Mance as much because he'll get paid a lot more than that senior JV wrestler did. Yeah. But that's a little bit of a check to your ego, right? I mean, Mance started every game a couple years ago.
Yeah.
He had a horrible concussion last year on the very last play of the Carolina game.
Oh, that's right.
What a wasted concussion that was.
Yeah.
He ended up missing 4 to 6 games with that thing.
He did.
It was a bad hit on the very last play of a game that you were going to lose anyway.
Yeah, no, it was like a Hail Mary at the end of the game, and he slammed his head into the turf. That was rough. So there are your... There are your Texan cuts. So they get the roster down to 53. We will keep an eye on any other moves they make leading up to the opener.
This is the world's biggest pregame show. 100 hours of Texans Chiefs coverage with your Rockets update.
All right, there was playoff basketball over the weekend as well, Seth. Last night, the Rockets lose game 2. Of that series, 117-109. We didn't even get a chance to talk about game 1. They looked so good in game 1 on Friday night, Seth. And you and I, we didn't even get a chance to bask in the glory of game 1. We're now back to where we can't trust Russell Westbrook anymore.
Life comes at
you pretty fast.
Yeah, I'm okay not trusting Russell Westbrook. For the life of me, I don't know why Russell Westbrook goes through these spells where he decides that he's a three-point shooter. All of a sudden, he's Ray Allen out there.
Yeah.
It struck me as I'm watching last night, and I don't know whether it was, you know, on his sixth missed three-point attempt. Maybe there at the very end, there was 2:17 left. They needed a three. Westbrook didn't have somebody within about 4 miles of him. He missed that.
Plank.
It occurred to me, they traded away Clint Capella because there was no floor spacing. And now... there's no floor spacing because nobody is guarding Russell Westbrook. So yeah. I don't know. I don't know if we've just gone back to square one with this or not. I think the Rockets disappointed me in that this team, the Rockets, have seen every manner of defense thrown at them to try to limit James Harden. Feels like they've seen everything in the book. In the first quarter, it looked like they were unprepared to face the Lakers' zone and their traps and all of that. And I was honestly a little surprised that they looked that unprepared. But they looked awesome in game 1. I'm not going to freak the hell out about being 1-1 with the Lakers right this moment. And the Lakers don't have home court advantage. There is no home court advantage.
Yeah.
So this is just a series now. Look, after one game, it looked like it was going to be a slaughter, and then now it's an actual NBA series.
Yeah, Seth, I don't know what's more concerning, that Russell Westbrook has decided to start shooting threes again or that he dribbles the ball like Stanley from The Office. Like, his handle is brutal. He dribbles the ball off his foot. He dribbles into traffic with one hit. Like, that's rough, man.
He's got 22 assists since he returned from his quad injury, but 21 turnovers.
That's not a good ratio, Seth.
It's a bad ratio for a team that desperately needs to win the turnover battle.
Yes.
That's all we talk about. They're a football team now. You got to win the turnover battle.
Right. So the Rockets and Lakers tied at 1 in their series, and their next game is tomorrow, 8 o'clock, game 3. So that's your update from the Orlando bubble on the Houston Rockets. Up next, it was an incredible day at NRG Stadium on Saturday. Maybe the best executed contract press conference that I've ever seen. Verlander, Sweeney, so many more coming in to congratulate Deshaun Watson. We will relive it. If you missed it, you won't want to miss this next segment. Stay there. It is the world's biggest pregame show. We are embedded in 100 hours of Texans Chiefs coverage here on Sports Radio 610, taking you up to the season opener. Texans Chiefs Thursday night right here on Sports Radio 610. The Texans, of course, play here. Deshaun Watson has signed his big contract. He is going to be a Texan for a long, long time. It was a really cool press conference on Saturday. We're going to get to the parts that were the most emotional. And actually, let's start off with Deshaun Watson talking about building his legacy here in Houston.
I mean, I'm lost of words, honestly, I've been crying a lot of it, really. You know, an amazing moment for me to be able to extend my career in a location, in a place, in a home that my family love, that I love, that, you know, I want to continue to dive into the community most of all, and just continue to build my legacy, just build our legacy and do something that we never been done before. You know, growing up, my word has always been legendary. You know, Gainesville High School, we never won a state championship, and I was the first quarterback to do it. Clemson University, they haven't won a state champion or a national championship since who knows when. I was the first one to do it. And the Houston Texans organization, been so new, we haven't even got to that stage yet. And for me to be able to have that opportunity a whole bunch of great other teammates, great coaching staff, great organization, and people up front. I want to be able to have that on my statue too.
All right, so that was Deshaun talking about building his legacy. One more here before we get through the – Seth, did you want to hit something with this before we get to the next one?
Well, Clemson won a championship in 1981.
They did.
Yeah, I had to go. I had to fact check that after he said it.
Here's because I love Deshaun Watson so much, and I know you do too. I choose to believe that he's only talking about the college football playoff, which has only been around since 2014.
Well, he caught himself. He said, like, since who knows when.
Right.
I think it was the early 80s.
It was.
I was proud of, I'm not good with the sports trivia and everything, so I was kind of proud of myself for knowing that one. And the other thing was, did you notice he just casually put in that, you know, that's what he wants going on his statue. So he's just assuming the statue will be there at some point, which I admire that confidence.
I do too. Right next to those two bulls outside the Verizon entrance.
I've always maintained that there needs to be a statue of Andre Johnson out next to the bulls, maybe riding one of the bulls, and then also Deshaun Watson. And I want their testicles to be just as large as those bull testicles.
Well, if he wins the Super Bowl, we can do that. You got to earn those testicles. Is what you got to do here.
So Andre hasn't earned the testicles.
Well, I want a statue of Andre beating the snot out of Cortland Finnegan. That's what I want.
Okay, that would be a great statue.
Yeah, that would be good. More Deshaun Watson. It got real emotional in this thing. Here he is talking about, you're going to really like this. If you're a Texan fan, this is about as cool as it gets. Deshaun Watson on the team, the franchise, the McNairs, entrusting the franchise, basically entrusting him being the face of this franchise.
The money is amazing. It's life-changing. It's great. But the biggest thing is for the McNair family, OB, Jack, to just trust in me and believe in me that, you know, I'm their guy, I'm their quarterback, is the biggest thing that really touches me. You know, growing up from where I'm from, there's not too many people to make it out. And so for them to... just trust me. I mean, it means the most. So, that's the biggest thing. The country, I knew that was going to take care of itself. My biggest focus was the locker room and just my performance on the field. Cause that's been something that really just got me from all the negativity. Just really all the negative stuff that we had experience growing up. So, that wasn't my biggest concern.
All right, that's Deshaun Watson. I mean, Seth, you texted me over the weekend. You're like, I wasn't planning on getting emotional when you got to watch this press conference.
Yeah, and it wasn't even, it wasn't his. I thought, it was when his family came out. Yeah. It was when his high school coach, it was when the kid that had survived cancer that had been part of a Make-A-Wish came out.
Ethan Hughes,
And honestly, there was a part, the way they did this press conference was they opened it up with Deshaun. They surprised him with like a This Is Your Life with Dabo Sweeney, Justin Verlander, all these guys, and we're about to play these guys. But it was really cool to see what a surprise it was for Deshaun. And at first I thought like, man, this is, at first, I'll be honest with you, my cynical side was, this is kind of weird. And then I got about 2 minutes into Dabo Swinney's speech, and I was like, I want to go play football for Dabo Swinney. I really want to go coach. I'll get a fake birth certificate. I'll come play. I'll be an offensive lineman even. I'll be one of those big, fat, stupid guys. I don't even care. I'll do it.
Seth with a drive-by on the offensive lineman when we're talking about Deshaun Watson. All right, so I'm glad you brought that up as we continue here with the world's biggest pregame show. And we're going to be looking ahead a lot this week to Texans and Chiefs, but it was such a monumental day on Saturday that, and I know a lot of you probably missed some of this stuff because it was and still is a holiday weekend. So I do want to relive some of that stuff, Seth, because this was the most unique announcement of a big contract that I've ever seen. And kudos to Amy Palsik and the Texans media staff for pulling this off and getting all these folks together. This is your life, Deshaun Watson, is what this was. It was a Deshaun Watson, this is your life. And it started off, Seth, as you mentioned, with his college coach, Dabo Sweeney.
I'm so happy for Miss Deanne. I'm happy for Aunt Sonia. I'm happy for just everyone in your family.
Yes,
and I'm thankful to be a part of such a great moment and just be a part of your journey. And this is what it's all about for me. So I love you. enjoy the moment.
Love you too, Coach. Appreciate it.
I like the part better where he, where Dabo said, "Hey, we're taking pay cuts here. Can I get a loan?"
Oh, we'll play that a little later. That was good. Yeah, that was pretty funny. Yeah, he dropped that in at the end.
And Dabo was talking about how angry he was at the draft that Deshaun was dropping. Dabo was actually PO'd, and that was really cool. I don't remember noticing or seeing that on the draft night. He did a good job of keeping it away from the cameras.
I'm assuming PO'd because Deshaun fell to 12 in the draft, and Dabo knew that he was going to be the next Michael Jordan. Is why he was saying he got mad. Yeah,
it wasn't like he was sliding down like Johnny Manziel or anything.
Right, right. So here is that. It was funny, Seth. You're right. Let's play it. Dabo Swinney asking Deshaun for a loan.
Hey, listen. We taking pay cuts around here. I might need just hold a thousand. just let me be first in line. Just a small loan.
You know I got you, Coach.
So Dabo Swinney. It's nice that those two can have a relationship where they can pay each other above board. You know what I mean? As opposed to when Deshaun was in high school.
They could actually. Yeah, that's right. Dabo could have a friendly game of golf, and Dabo could give Deshaun $100, and nobody's going to get suspended over it.
They can go out and make it rain and not worry about who picks up the money off the floor, you know, that kind of
thing.
Hey,
when Dabo and Deshaun make it rain, it's at the it's when the offering plate comes around.
That's right, that's right.
There you go.
That's right. So Dabo Swinney was the first to show up. Next to show up, Astros ace Justin Verlander.
Being able to go to these games the last couple of years and sit in a stadium and see how much Houston loves you and how much you love them back and how much, you know, you've become part of this city. To see you be able to sign this extension, man, it's pretty special. I haven't been here for long, but you know, I feel like this city, I can tell the vibe that they have for you and how much they love you.
Is it weird my takeaway from that part of the press conference was, Seth, like, man, I miss Justin Verlander, and it's still, even though he's injured, it's still really cool that he reps Houston like this. You know
what
I mean?
It's really cool that he repped it, and I think you got to remember, too, that Verlander came in, and I guess Verlander's experience in Houston is never one that I really thought about all that much, because I still think of him so much as being in Detroit for so long that's where his heart probably is.
Right.
But he came in, he won a World Series, he's largely untouched and unscathed by the cheating scandal because he was a pitcher, and also he had just come onto the team as it was all going on.
Yep.
And I think Verlander, and as Verlander was talking about that part of it, which was a pleasant surprise, I thought, man, Deshaun talks about his commitment to the city and the charitable work he wants to do. I think he's got to look at both Mahomes and J.J. Watt. You know, Mahomes is a quarterback from a distance, but J.J. Watt is a guy just on this team that he probably sees the connection they have to a city and wants some of that, you know, and he's already had that. He has that with his hometown, because between high school and Clemson, it's all right there in his hometown. I think he wants the exact same thing in Houston. It's good to see just how genuinely committed he is to Houston.
It's a really cool friendship, too, between Verlander and Deshaun Watson. So that was pretty cool to see him show up.
Did you also find yourself having to remind yourself that, oh, wait, yeah, Verlander could actually play this year, potentially, possibly?
Yeah.
I was thinking of almost like, wow, they got retired Jason Verlander to come on. That's pretty cool.
Several times this weekend I was trying to remind myself of that as I was watching the Astros play. All right, we continue with the Deshaun Watson, This Is Your Life, from his press conference on Saturday. You mentioned it, Seth. Ethan Hughes, the name of the young man who was a Make-A-Wish kid, a cancer survivor. He showed up. He and Deshaun have struck a unique friendship, and here's what Ethan Hughes had to say.
I just remember watching you escape all the sacks and just throw touchdowns. And so once when we found out I was able to have a Make-A-Wish, I was like, of course, it has to be Deshaun. You know, this guy put me through, like, no matter how bad my day was going, I could always have a smile on my face knowing that Deshaun Watson is my quarterback. So, and then when that day finally came for Make-A-Wish, you put me under your wing, man, and it was just amazing. And just thank you for all that you've done, and I'm glad you got paid. You deserve it.
Yeah, Deshaun went on to say, hey, you look good. You got your hair back to Ethan. And Ethan, for those who – I think some listeners familiar with his story, but he's going to be out of treatment in January of 2022. So he's healthy. He's doing great. He's still in treatment, but there's a light at the end of the tunnel for him. He's a great kid. We've had him up here to visit up in the – up in the studio before. Really, really great kid, and that was a cool moment from the press conference on Saturday.
With honestly a future in sports media if he wants it. The kid's eloquent as hell.
Yeah, he is. He's very good. He's very good in front of a microphone. All right, so we continue with the Deshaun Watson, This Is Your Life, Seth. You mentioned it. His high school coach, Michael Perry, from Gainesville High School, showed up, and here's what he had to say.
Today is one of the happiest days of my life to see this happen for you and your family, because nobody deserves it more. To see where you've come from, you are what's right about this game. You're what's right about what a role model is supposed to be. You're just such an inspiration to so many, this community, this state, everywhere. And I've just been so blessed to be a small part of your life.
That's got to be a crazy thing to be a high school coach. You know, you probably get one of these types of kids in your lifetime if you're lucky as a high school coach. You know what I mean? And unless you coach at a football factory, you know, like some of those big schools here in Texas or in California or certainly down in Florida. But Gainesville, Georgia, I would imagine not exactly a pipeline to the NFL. That's got to be just a wild thing as a high school coach to coach all these kids that peak out in high school. And then you've got Deshaun Watson, who's got a chance to be one of the faces of the NFL for the next 15 years.
Yeah. And, yeah, good to see Michael Perry didn't try to take credit for it. It wasn't like, yeah, you know, I remember when I taught you how to do power cleans, and that was when you really turned it around or
right,
anything.
Right,
it was,
right.
Yeah. It's got to be pretty cool. But honestly, though, just to watch any of your kids go on to do what they do as a high school coach. And especially, too, it's got to be cool to be able to have the legacy of Deshaun Watson to talk to and refer to.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether it's at Clemson or at Gainesville, to just be able to say, hey, remember what it was like when Deshaun did this, or this is what your expectations are, that you can always point to somebody that grew up in that same spot and say that you can – look, you probably can't be Deshaun Watson,
right,
but you can conduct yourself in the same way.
Absolutely.
As Deshaun Watson.
All right, the last one from Deshaun, This Is Your Life, on Saturday from his contract press conference. This is the one that got to Seth Payne's heartstrings right here. The Watson family showing up on the Zoom call.
Congratulations, bro.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, all your grinding, boy, done paid off, boy. I'm proud of you, bro. I'm proud of you, bro.
You got all the keys to the offense now. Go to the Super Bowl.
Congratulations, Sean. I love you. And Auntie just got to say something on behalf of your mama and this whole family. Your mama's so proud of you and for what you have become. And we know God going to keep doing great things in your life. And you just live, honey, and be happy and accept whatever he bring your way. And just keep going. And we just want you to know, we love you.
All right, so that was the Watson family. Yeah, Seth, Auntie was getting me emotional as I'm watching that video.
I want her to give me a pep talk. I would pay for her. That's what she needs to do.
Yeah.
She needs to outsource her services and give like 1-minute pep talks to people in the morning.
What?
And tell them she loves them.
Right.
I don't care if it's fake. I don't care if you don't actually know me, Auntie. I need you to tell me you love me.
Seth, I don't know if Auntie knows this. There's this little thing called Cameo. Can you imagine Deshaun Watson's Auntie is on Cameo for $50? She'll do a pep talk video for you each morning.
I like that.
Yeah.
I think that's a good. She should do that.
Generate
some
revenue.
I don't know if she.
I don't know that she needs to now that Deshaun signed this big deal. I don't know that she needs to.
I don't know. Yeah, but she might be able. Yeah, who knows? I don't want to. I don't like to pry into how people are handling their stuff.
Sure. That concludes This Is Your Life, Deshaun Watson. Here on the world's biggest pregame show, 100 hours of Texans Chiefs coverage. We're in the middle of it right now, leading you up to the game on Thursday. Speaking of that game, Seth, what people couldn't see in that last cut, I think you could hear it, but you couldn't see it. Is it Deshaun? Deshaun was emotional at many, many times throughout that press conference. He was bawling when his family showed up on the Zoom call. Like hands over his face, crying. And you know, a lot of times, during a season, a team plays a game where there's a lot of emotion involved. And then when you're handicapping the next week's game, you're like, man, I don't know if I'm taking such and such team. Can they come back from the emotion of the win the week before? I'm worried about Deshaun coming back from the emotion of this press conference for Thursday's game.
You know why?
Can
you don't
Deshaun
have to worry about
Watson
that?
Recover from the emotion of his Saturday press conference to show up on Thursday?
You know, you don't have to worry about that, Sean, because his mom told him. Like 30 seconds after she congratulated him and everything, she said, okay, but now remember, you got a game to win Thursday.
I like her moxie.
She just put it right there. Like, all right, that's cool and all, but let's go.
Yeah, this was big for Bill O'Brien, and he talked about it on Saturday, the importance of having your quarterback locked in.
that's a very, very important part of the conversation that you, you know, that you have a quarterback in place. I mean, it's just, you know, obviously, like I said earlier, since the day he walked in here, you know, he has been who we believed he would be when we first met him and then some. And so to have consistency in the quarterback position, along with consistency in the offensive system, I think is really good because he feels so comfortable. And every year he's gotten better and better at, you know, understanding not only what he's seeing on the other side of the ball, but what we're trying to do. He's got the thing mastered, you know, relative to our playbook. So that consistency working together is very important. I think Timmy Kelly has done a really good job with him this year. TJ Yates has been a good addition in that quarterback room. I think I'll let Deshaun talk about that, but I think those guys work very well together, and I think that's been good relative to where we're at right now. But consistency is definitely a huge key at that position.
You know, obviously the consistency of having Deshaun Watson there is. I think the thing that O'Brien said that really nailed it was that Deshaun has been the same guy they hoped and expected he would be since the day he walked in. And think about how hard it is for a great college quarterback to maintain his aura in the NFL. There, when guys have this aura about them where, wow, they just flat out know how to win. Vince Young, right? He just flat out knows how to win. Man, Tim Tebow, he just gets it done. Yeah. Boy, Johnny Manziel, it's just magical. Like, all those guys are guys who had
auras. Bradford,
auras.
Matt Leinart, any yeah. quarterback who won a Heisman Trophy the last 30 years.
Yeah, that there was just something about them that was just a winner, right? And it's so much in the minority when a guy actually maintains that aura. Because when those guys, all those guys, I don't know about Leinart and Bradford, but all those other guys, when those guys walk into an NFL locker room, there's a certain magic about them. Even when they're rookies, and you think, and I know guys that played with Vince Young his first couple of years when before things went south, and they walk in with their resumes on their forehead, basically, and guys watch college football. They get excited about it. But, man, it starts to fade if you don't back it up over the first couple years. And usually by year three, if you're Johnny Manziel, for instance, all that aura is gone. And Deshaun, I don't think he's lost any of that aura. I think guys still – he still has that capacity to make guys believe that they're in it in the fourth quarter,
yeah.
which is really cool. Because it could have easily been just another cliche, all right, well, he's a good quarterback that played on a great college football team. And – That's not what it's been with Deshaun. It's been much more than that.
All right, so you heard from Bill O'Brien right there. You can hear the Bill O'Brien show tonight, 5 o'clock, presented by Amogee Bank. Also tonight, we should mention that we're doing a really cool thing the next three nights. If you were listening last night, you heard the Titans-Texans game from Week 15, the Texans beating the Titans in Nashville last year, commercial-free. It's all part of Texans Radio special presentation. We are doing full replays of some of the Texans' big wins from last season. Tonight, 8 o'clock, Texans-Patriots, the big win over the Patriots. Bill O'Brien finally getting over the hump and beating the New England Patriots in Week 13 last year. We're playing it commercial-free. That's Texans Radio. Special presentation Tuesday night is going to be the playoff win over Buffalo. Wednesday night, the Week 6 win last year over the Kansas City Chiefs. As we roll on with the world's biggest pregame show, we are embedded in 100 hours of buildup, 100 hours of consecutive radio leading up to Texans and Chiefs on Thursday night. I want to mention here also that inside the world's biggest pregame show, we're also looking to have a big impact on the Houston community this week. So starting tomorrow, we are teaming up with the Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation and their My Home Library campaign. In the Houston area, 61% of low-income families have no books in their homes. And with your help, we're going to do everything that we can to change that this week. So we're looking forward to you helping us out. We've got more details starting tomorrow, but know that we are trying to, in addition to getting you ready for football season, we're trying to get books in the hands of a lot of kids who need them out there in the Houston area. So be on the lookout for that as well. Up next, a former Texan finally signs and is coming back to the division. This is going to be fun. We'll talk about it next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.